I'm Nikki Ouellette with Montana News. Yesterday, a federal judge in Missoula heard arguments on whether a neo-Nazi website writer has the First Amendment right to unleash a troll storm of anti-Semitic and threatening messages against a whitefish Jewish woman and her family. U.S. Magistrate Judge Jeremiah Lynch has not yet ruled on a motion defendant Andrew Anglin argued yesterday in a suit brought by Tanya Gersh. Gersh says Anglin, publisher of the Daily Stormer website, invaded her privacy, intentionally inflicted emotional distress, and violated Montana's Anti-Intimidation Act. Anglin is trying to get the case dismissed, saying he was engaged in political speech protected under the First Amendment. To better understand what's at issue in this lawsuit, I spoke with Jonathan Kotler, a professor at the University of Southern California's Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism. Kotler specializes in media law and constitutional rights.
At its heart, this lawsuit is about freedom of speech and the First Amendment. How have the courts in the past interpreted the boundary of what's considered protected free speech?
Almost anything is protected, with a couple of limited exceptions. Speech that would harm national security is not protected. Obscene speech is not protected. Speech that would cause a direct threat of imminent harm to an individual is not protected. But other than that, pretty much everything goes.
You mentioned that threatening speech is not protected. And from my media law class in college, what I understood it to mean is I would make a threat by saying a time, a place, and an action that I'm going to do against a person. Is that always how it's interpreted?
Looking at some of the things that were said, not only about her, but her husband and her children and the pictures and drawings involved. Those are pretty specific. They're not specific as to time, however, and I don't know that a court is going to be able to find that they were specific enough in terms of when this was going to happen. I don't know that any individual, one of these claims or threats is enough, but taken together, in mass, and there were so many of them, scared me.
In this particular lawsuit, Tanya Gersh has argued that Andrew Anglin did have threatening and harassing speech against her, even though a lot of the messages that she received didn't come directly from Andrew Anglin. Is there any precedent where someone could be held accountable for the speech of others?
Sure, absolutely. Somebody comes to me and said, I'm having marital difficulties. For $1,000, will you kill my wife? And the guy says, sure, and he goes out and pulls the trigger. The person that solicited the illegal act is just as liable for the harm as the person that actually commits the illegal act. So if Anglin solicited the harassment of this woman, he would be just as responsible for the harassment as the person, people that did the harassment.
Yeah, earlier you called that aiding and abetting with words.
Yeah.
Have the courts ruled on cases similar to the one that Tanya Gersh has brought?
We're starting to hear about cases involving internet service providers, about what liability they have, and it really kind of depends on whether or not the ISPs get involved in editing their platforms. They try and play it both ways. You know, we're a originator of information. No, we're not. We're just a neutral platform. If this guy takes an active role in his platform, and I understand that he does. He has editorials, he has postings, things like that. He's more than just a pass-through. He's more than just a conduit. And he could have responsibility for some of the things that are said, especially the ones that he encouraged.
In your short review of this particular case, is there anything that makes it stand out from those other similar cases that you just mentioned?
I guess the level of the vitriol, it's an army of hundreds, and here you've kind of got the general of the army saying, charge, and his minions go charging off, and he's saying, hey, not my fault. The other thing that's kind of interesting are the jurisdictional questions in this case are interesting because of where the parties are from, and you have the whole issue of whether or not a state statute, Montana's law, would fall in the face of the First Amendment, if the First Amendment defense is even applicable. I don't know that it is.
Anglin wanted the case dismissed because he says it fails to state a claim. Can you explain what that means and what you expect would happen next?
This is setting the case up to go to trial. Defendants typically will try and get rid of a case. I think this is a case, for better or for worse, that it's going to go to trial because I think there's some real tribal issues of fact and law here. I think ultimately they have to be heard by a court.
Jonathan Kotler is an associate professor at the University of Southern California Annenberg School of Communication and Journalism. Thanks so much for joining us, Jonathan.
Again, it was my pleasure, Nikki.